Crosstalk Podcast Season 1, Episode 11. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another great episode of Crosstalk Podcast. My name is Jason Sism. This podcast is where faith becomes life by equipping you for success in your family, your ministries, and your life. That's right, my friends, in this crazy, busy, hectic world of ministry, this is where you come to get the tools that you need to transform lives and reach your communities for Christ. So why don't you come along, my friends, be refreshed, and draw near to the heart of God. Well, that's right, my friends. We are nearing the end. This is episode 11. There are only two more episodes left in season one of Crosstalk. Man, this has just flown by. And I didn't realize how fast 13 episodes go. And I didn't realize that until until right now, as I was hitting the record button. I sat down and got my audio files all ready to go, tested them, and it dawned on me I only have two episodes left before we take a small hiatus and we take a break. Once we take a break, then Crosstalk will be back with season two. So here is what I need you to do. I need you to go to jbsism.com and click any of the last four podcasts, and you will see in there a place for you to put in comments and send me suggestions for season two, topics you would love me to be speaking on. Also, you can send me questions that you've had regarding season one, and I will be more than happy to answer any questions for you. Maybe you have questions regarding the blog. That would be another great place for you to submit your questions. You can also use Facebook. You can also use Twitter. My Twitter handle is at JBSism. If you don't know how to spell Sism, it's really simple. It's S as in Sam, I, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, M as in Mary. So JB as in boy, Sism. So at JB Sism, that is my Twitter handle. You can certainly send me as many questions as you want there. I will be more than happy to answer your questions. Also, you can go to facebook.com/JB Sism and you can like the page and submit some requests or questions there as well. And if you're not a fan on Facebook or you're not following me on Twitter, please do so. The more that we can get the word out about JB Sism Ministries, the better, because I believe that the content that I share is vitally important for those who need a refreshing touch of the Holy Spirit. And this podcast, I really believe, is geared towards pastors and leaders who are worn out. Maybe they just need a fresh look. Maybe they just need a fresh idea. Because you can agree with me or not agree with me, but ministry is very tiring. Ministry is frustrating. And last week I talked about how we as leaders need to be continually refreshed. We need to take the time. We need to sit back. We need to breathe, because it's so easy for us to fall into the trap of being busy. And sometimes, if you're like me, you tend to be busy for the sake of being busy. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as leaders, we are more sick and more tired than most people out there. And that's because I believe that we pour our heart, we pour our soul into what we do. And that's not a bad thing. That is really saying that we care about the people that we serve. We care about our churches. We care about our ministries. We are in it for the long haul. We're not here just to make our paycheck and go home and hug our wife and kids. Now, I do encourage you to go home and hug your wife and kids, but we are here to minister to people's lives. We are here to see lives changed, transformed. And my goal as an author, as a writer on this blog, my goal is to give you the tools that you need so that you can transform lives and reach your communities. But on top of that, not just equip you with tools to transform lives, but equip you with tools to equip people with tools. Because our goal isn't just to, Our goal isn't to just do the work of the ministry. Our goal is to encourage the people who sit week in and week out in our church pews to do the work of the ministry. Our goal is to empower people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave us the message in Matthew chapter 28, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe." Observe what? Observe everything that Jesus had taught the disciples to do. So this is not a new command. This is not a new mandate, but rather it's a command for us as leaders to carry out. And us as leaders, our number one goal is to disciple. Well, we can't disciple unless we're refreshed, and we can't disciple if we're not having a laser-like focus on everything that we do. Everything has to have a reason for it to exist in our churches. And if it doesn't have that reason, if it's just existing because, well, it's always existed, then we're not doing ourselves or our parishioners any favors. It's so easy. Well, you know, the bake-off that we do every month at our church, well, we've always done it. Oh, the ladies would be just so disappointed. We just can't stop doing it because people enjoy the baked goods. But the question is it for you or is it for the people who maybe have walked into your building for the first time and they don't want to sit around for a baked good? So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we leading with purpose, or are we just passing the time by, preaching a Sunday morning sermon, and hoping all is well? Now, I know that may seem kind of harsh, and it seems kind of forward, but I think today's parishioner needs to know that we have a laser-like focus, a focus that is so intense that they're willing to follow us no matter where we go. And that's really what it is all about. We can't just sit by and allow people to come in and sit on their rump and not do anything for the kingdom of God. Our goal as leaders and pastors is to equip, transform, and reach our communities, because there are hurting people out there who need a gospel message given to them, because that gospel message has hope. They're looking for hope. They need that hope, and you and I are the ones who have that hope. I know I'm kind of preaching today, but again, like I said in a previous podcast, this is what I do. I am a preacher. So, you know, take that as an encouragement, because I want you to succeed in ministry. And the way I can help you succeed in ministry is by giving you tools that are going to help you go to the next level, tools that are going to help you succeed in your community, succeed in your church. And I don't think it matters how many people we have attending our church that determines what success is. I think success comes in the form of how many people are being touched by the Holy Spirit and how many people are giving their lives to Jesus. That, my friends, I believe is what breeds success. And that's what we need to focus our attention on, is helping more people draw near to the heart of God. So that's kind of a recap, a little bit of last week. Last week, I talked about how we need to get away. We can't just be doing everything. We have to be empowering. So anyway, that is a little bit add-on to last week. I enjoyed last week. I'm a little bit more awake today than I was when I recorded last week's episode. It was funny because I had recorded it the previous Friday. For me and you, it's going to be different in weeks because you're listening to all of these podcasts about a week after I record them. So if I goof up and say, well, I recorded it last week, well, because in my mind, I did record it last week. But for you, it was 2 weeks ago. Beside the point, when I recorded last week's episode, it was late. It was the Friday I recorded it. And I had purchased some brand new equipment, but I had a wrong audio cable for the music that I play. I have I don't know what you call it. It's a radio stack, I guess is what you call it, called Soundbite. And it's a great, great little program. I can plug in all my audio clips, and with a click of a button, it'll play it. It'll play multiples of them at once if I really wanted them to. Might get a little weird sounding if I try that, so I'm not going to try that. But anyway, it's the audio that was coming from my computer to the soundboard was kind of weird. It was wonky. It was really echoey. I didn't like it. So I figured I needed to re-record the podcast. So I did that late on a Wednesday night. Oh my gosh. It had to have been about 10 o'clock at night when I re-recorded. It took me an hour and a half to re-record because I just kept running into issues and I was tired. I wasn't thinking straight. So if last week's episode seemed a little not as peppy, I guess is the word, that's because I recorded it late at night. So you'll have to forgive me on that one. Well, today I want to talk about six characteristics of leadership that Jesus had. Jesus is probably, I think, the best example that we can have when it comes to leadership. And so I wanted to give you six examples of that leadership style, in other words, a way to lead like Jesus, because aren't we supposed to be more like him every day anyway? So what better example for us as leaders to follow than the leadership traits of Jesus? So so I'm going to dive right into these, and this is going to be probably about a half hour to 40 minute podcast. I think the hour podcasts are a little much sometimes. Depends on the topic. Sometimes they're only going to be about a half hour, but other times they're going to be closer to an hour. It really depends on the content that I am sharing with you. But I really want everything to be very laser focused in what I do in this podcast. And so you're going to see me trying all kinds of new things, and you know, we'll work together to find what works best. And you could tell me what you like better, because I've done a mixture of both now over the course of the last 11 episodes, where some episodes were about half hour long, others were about 10, 10 minutes, others were about an hour long. So you can tell me what you like best, and I will accommodate you in that. Because the other thing I want to do is begin recording a brand new podcast called A Devoted Life. And that podcast is really going to be more geared towards the everyday Christian, the everyday man, where I discuss the traits of faith that I have and what I'm learning in my own spiritual walk. But also I want to talk about family values. I want to talk about what it means to be a believer in today's society. So A Devoted Life, that's going to be coming out here sometime soon. I believe that this is going to help me be better at what I do, and that way my blog isn't focused just for leaders, because I have a lot of other people other than leader, business leaders, church leaders, who read my blog. I have other people who really enjoy my blog who are everyday Christians but maybe aren't leaders. And so my new podcast that I'm working on, I'm still kind of figuring out how it's all going to work, how long it's going to be, etc. But this podcast is going to be geared to the everyday Christian, and it's going to be basically an audio devotional where I'll have the show notes completely written out, but it's also going to be a way for you to be refreshed. And it's my way to help you go further in your walk with Jesus, because that is really what the goal is ultimately all about. So putting that aside, let's dive right into the six leadership traits of Jesus. Number one is Jesus saw potential and value in the disciples. So if you really want to think about it, good leaders see their role as developing other people, developing other leaders. And that's really what Jesus did. When Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, let's look at Mark chapter 1 here. Mark chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "And he walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in a boat, mending their nets. He immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him." So Jesus called the everyday man. He didn't call the highfalutin religious leaders. Jesus didn't call the people who were already successful. He called the people he saw potential in. And I think what makes a good leader is when we see our role as developing other leaders. Because leadership and development of leadership takes place when good leaders begin to share what works for them, what's good, what's bad. They share information with people in their organization or within their churches. And they don't hold back. They see potential and they pull up that potential in other leaders. They want to see other leaders go further than what they are able to go. Now, because Jesus was God, obviously the disciples couldn't go further than what he goes as an individual. But in terms of leadership, Jesus wanted to see the disciples take his ministry to a whole new level. And I think as pastors and leaders, our goal is to see those in our congregation as potential leaders, as potential disciples that we are pouring our lives into so that they can go to a whole new level. And so when Jesus sees potential in leaders and value in them, we need to be keeping our eye out for potential leaders and raising them up and putting them into a position of leadership so that they can succeed. Secondly, Jesus taught character. Jesus taught character. In other words, Jesus was a person or a leader who had an above average, let me put it this way. He had above average character. He was able to take where he was at in his own personal life, and he was to implement that into other people's lives. You see that in a lot of his teachings. If we flip over to Matthew chapter 5, which is the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they're going to be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers." So leaders, the whole goal of leaders is is to instill character, the character that they want, in the lives of those around them. And Jesus taught this over and over and over again, that a good leader is somebody who has a desire within themselves to not promote themselves above everybody else, saying, hey, I know more than you. But really, a good leader is somebody who empowers character in somebody and say, this is how I want you to live your life. And I think for pastors and leaders, that is such a hard thing to do, is looking at somebody and saying, oh man, I want to see you. I want to see you do this and live this way. I think we tend to beat around the bush sometimes and say, well, you know, it's okay if you do this, but, you know, when you're in the church, if you could not do that, yeah, that'd be great. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. Jesus demanded the same character that he had. He demanded who you are in private is who you are in public. And move my microphone here. So Jesus really said, I want you to live this lifestyle. And I don't care if you're going to live this lifestyle out in public or in private, you have to be consistent in how you live your life. And so many leaders today are not consistent in how they live their life. They act one way in public, say one thing in public, but then when they're private and they are alone, they act completely different. And that is not what Jesus wanted. Jesus said, you know, hey, yeah, there are no perfect people. But for a leader to be considered good, you have to be unquestioned in your leadership. You have to be unquestioned in your character. Ron Edmondson, I think that's how you say his last name, ronedmondson.com, is a former pastor, writes a really good blog. He says this about character. He says, a good leader has above average character, that there are no perfect people, but for a leader to be considered good, they must have a character that is unquestioned within the organization. Leadership always draws criticism from someone, so a leader may not be able to get everyone to believe in him or her, but the people who know the leader best should trust the leader's character. So for us to instill character in other people's lives, we have to be consistent in our own character. So we've looked at how Jesus saw potential and value in the disciples when he called them. So we're to do the same and look for value and potential in those around us. Jesus taught character. Jesus said, this is how I want you to live. Doesn't matter if you're in the public light. Doesn't matter if you're away from the public and in your home. This is the character you're to have. But thirdly, Jesus placed others above his own needs. Boy, isn't that the truth. There were times when Jesus was troubled in his spirit, but yet he wanted to get away from the crowds. And what happens? A woman comes up to him and tugs on his clothes, and power drains out of him, and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, there are a throng of people around you, and you're going to say, who touched me? And then the woman confessed. And he says, woman, rise up, for your faith has made you well. And while he was talking to her, another guy comes up and says, master, my daughter's dying. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And Jairus said, that you would heal my daughter. And while Jairus was talking to Jesus, Jairus' servant comes up and says, master, your daughter's dead. And he starts wailing and weeping, and Jesus says, "She's not sleeping. Go on your way, for she will be well when you get home." You see, Jesus put others' needs above his own. Jesus wanted to get out of there. He wanted to go rest. He was tired. He was weary. But yet, he still took time to be there for people. Think about John chapter 4, when Jesus went to Samaria. The Bible says he had to go through Samaria. And when he gets to a town in Samaria, he's like, it's been a long day. I just need to rest. There's a well over there. I'm just going to go sit down. Well, Jesus goes and sits down, and a woman is drawing water, and he goes, "Give me a drink." And she goes, "Oh, why are you a Jew asking me for a drink?" And you know, so Jesus, who is, again, tired and weary, ministers to this woman and says, the time is coming that true worshipers are going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so for a leader to place others' needs above his own is a high-quality character. And leaders who are interested in making a positive difference in people's lives, they have to not only create a margin of influence, but they also have to influence other people's. They have to be skillful in blessing others, putting their needs above their own. Because again, it's not about us, it's about those who need us. And again, going back to last week's episode, if we are continually being worn out and tired, we are going to be ineffective in our ministry to those around us. We're not going to be effective. And I think this is why Jesus, so many times you saw him draw away from the crowds and he actually disappeared. Jesus was like a magician. He disappeared all the time. But I think what it was is Jesus had to get away in order to be refreshed. Because if a leader is refreshed, he is then able to be successful as a leader and put other people's needs above his own. So first, Jesus sees the potential and value in the disciples. Second, Jesus teaches character. And third, Jesus places others above his own needs. Well, I'm going to take a short break, and while I take a quick drink here, I want you to listen to this short promo. If you're like most of my readers, you want to succeed in your family, ministry, and life, and see others do the same. But the reality is, sometimes training effective leaders is difficult. That is why I wrote my new ebook called Start Your Engines: 3 Strategies to Running an Effective Small Group Now. This ebook is designed to take you to the next level as a leader, help you train others to be successful, and it gives you a simple template to do just that. You can't buy Start Your Engines, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free e-newsletter. This newsletter will let you know as soon as I post new content to my blog. This way, you don't have to remember my blog to stay up to date. Once you get the newsletter, click the links included and you'll be taken right to my website where you can read the latest content. To get your copy of my ebook, head over to jbcism.com. Click the link at the top right of the page, enter your information, and you'll receive in minutes your copy of my new ebook. And did I mention it's completely free? Don't guess on how to run effective small groups in your church. Sign up today to get your copy of Start Your Engines: 3 Strategies to Running an Effective Small Group Now. Available only at jbcism.com. Well, welcome back. So we are talking about 6 ways to lead like Jesus. 6 ways to lead like Jesus. And I think for us as leaders, it can be so difficult to be like Jesus. It's it's hard. But yet Jesus wanted us to be like him. Because in Matthew chapter 28, he says, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I want you to do what I did and lead like I did." So we looked at three of these six traits of Jesus' leadership already. We looked at number one, how Jesus saw potential and value in the disciples, where Jesus sought out people who weren't the highfalutin leaders of the day, but he saw the value and the potential that they could have in other people's lives. And so he decided to invest his time into them. Even though one of them betrayed him, he invested his time in them. Why? Because in the end, they changed the world. Number two, Jesus taught character. In other words, who you are in public is who you are in private. You can't be one way in one place and another in another place. You have to be consistent in your character. You have to be consistent in who you are. If you say you're one way, then you have to act that one way, because people otherwise will see right through you and it will catch up to you. Number three, Jesus placed others above his own needs. You saw so many times when Jesus was tired, weary, worn out, but he in turn helped those who needed his help. He invested into those who needed investment, and Jesus didn't stop. But yet at the same time, Jesus also needed to learn it was time to get away. And this is where it brings us to number four. Jesus was skilled at waiting on the Lord. He was skilled at waiting on the Lord. There's one portion in scripture where Jesus says, "I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing." The psalmist says, Isaiah says, "Wait on the Lord, and you shall rise up with wings like eagles." So those who wait on the Lord, their strength is renewed and their tenacity is taken to a whole new level because they are able to cope with life. And that's what it's all about. It's learning to be skilled in waiting on God. And so many times we as leaders in our churches, we tend to be reactionary towards something. So if something's going wrong, we feel the need, we have to fix it right away. We have to take care of it, because if we don't take care of it right away, it might blow up in our faces. But the reality is, if we just stop, take a breath, and we say, "Okay, Lord, how do I deal with this situation?" Boy, things will go so much better for us. I forgot to put my phone on silent again. Really bad about that. I am really sorry. But Jesus, because he was skilled at waiting on the Lord, there was nothing that came his way that he couldn't handle. Why? Because he took the time to seek God's face. And I think for us as leaders, we have to be vigilant in seeking God's face. We have to learn that it's all about God. It's all about him to begin with. It's not about us. It's not about the competency that we have in our own skills. We just have to trust that Jesus knows where he's going to take us. So he was patient. He walked away up onto the hill and he waited on the voice of the Lord. I mean, how many times do we tend to react to something without thinking it through? I remember one time there was one of our sound techs, and I had asked him to, you know, play some music before service, and he goes, "Nah, it's too distracting. I don't think I'm going to do it." And in front of everybody else, I kind of went off on him. that was not the proper way to handle that. I had to go back and eat humble pie and apologize to him and say, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I overstepped my bounds, I should not have gone off on you like I did, basically saying, hey, I'm the leader, this is what I want you to do, end of discussion. Jesus didn't act like that. And I think so many times we as pastors were like, well, I want you to do this because I said I want you to do this. But is that the right course of action for us to take? I don't think so. I think the right course of action is, okay, so you don't want to play music before service. Well, can you explain why? And maybe they would come back, well, I find it distracting. And then as a good leader, we can come back and say, okay, I still would like music played before service because I was overseeing the entire sound ministry at the time. And I said, I would like to see music played before service. So how can we work together so that you are finding that it's not distracting, but yet also people are coming into a worshipful space? And that probably would have been a much better way to handle that. And that's exactly how I handled it after I apologized to him. And we made a compromise, and he started to bring music up into the house while people entered in to worship before the service started. And it became a very nice, nice atmosphere. And our current sound tech does the same thing. He plays music beforehand, but it's not loud. It's not overbearing. It's just enough to where you can take the time to worship. And so I think if we are skilled at learning to wait on the Lord, we can handle situations that arise much, much better. Number five, Jesus thinks beyond today. Jesus always had laser focus for what was ahead. He was not afraid, one, for others to succeed. He was not expecting anything in return, which I'll get into that in a moment. But he was a visionary. He wanted the organization of his disciples, the 12, and then you have the 70, and then you have the 120. He wanted that organization of people to go beyond into the future. You know, he was always thinking about what's next. What is the next thing that I need to do? And Jesus would sometimes say, okay, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going into this town. I need you to go ahead of me and prepare the way. Let them know that I'm coming. And so many times we as leaders, we get so bogged down in our day-to-day routine that we forget about what's next. We forget that we have to have laser focus into the future for tomorrow. That is so, so difficult for us to do. Because we want to be focused on the here and now. And, well, when we get to the future, we get to the future. But it doesn't always work that way. If you have a goal, let's say you're a church of 200, but you have a goal to be a church of 500, the question is, what are the steps you have to take to make that happen? Are you going to make that happen in the next 2 years? Are you going to make that happen in the next 5 years? Set a goal. Always be thinking, what is next? And I think that is a common question that every successful leader asks themselves, because the whole goal of leadership is to think with strategy, have strategic thinking, thinking about change, thinking about growth, thinking about helping the organization or the church, I should say, remain healthy. And that's what it's all about. It's about thinking beyond ourselves, thinking beyond today. So number one, Jesus saw potential and value in the disciples. Number two, Jesus taught character. Number three, Jesus placed others above his own needs. Number four, he was skilled at waiting upon the Lord. Number five, Jesus thought beyond today. He thought beyond to the bigger picture. And number six, Jesus expects nothing in return. When Jesus was on the earth, he didn't lead to get, he led to serve. And I think that is the mark of a good leader. A mark of a good leader is somebody who has a servant heart, a heart of service. And I think a leader, to be successful, they have to truly love and value people. They want to help other people succeed. They want to help other people, not necessarily for their own personal gain, but they want to help other people go to the next level. They want other people to have the tools that they need so that they in turn can become successful by transforming lives. Because Jesus's ultimate end game was to change the world, to turn the world upside down. And eventually that is exactly the term that was given to the disciples. Here are the ones who have turned the world upside down, turned the world on its head. And as leaders, as good, focused leaders, we have to be visionary and laser-focused like in everything that we do, continuing to learn so that we can not only see value in other people, not only be teaching character in other people, not only placing others' needs above our own, not only just being skilled at waiting on the Lord, not only just thinking beyond today, but we are not looking for monetary gain. We're not looking to regain anything out of our leadership experience. We don't want anything in return. And that was Jesus's whole goal. I want to be somebody like Jesus. And I hope you have the exact same desire. So the six things we looked at, Jesus saw potential in others. He taught character. He placed others above his own needs. He was skilled at waiting on the Lord. He thought beyond today. And he expected nothing in return. And if we have that same mindset as Jesus, boy, we are going to go to a whole new level. Wow. I can't even begin to express how much fun those six traits that Jesus had were. Sometimes when I'm working on putting something together, sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to be speaking on before I sit down at the microphone. And I've thought about this one now for the last, probably since last night. Last night is really when I sat down and thought, you know, what should I be talking about? And I knew I wanted to talk about leadership traits, but I just didn't know exactly what kind of leadership traits I wanted to talk about. And this is the one that I really narrowed in my focus on, is the six character or the six leadership traits that Jesus had. And boy, if we take these and we run with these, I think we're going to have better leadership and we're going to go further than maybe the pastor down the street. And if you think that this is going to help the pastor down the street, boy, I would encourage you to go to them and say, hey, listen to this podcast. It's powerful and it will help your leadership style, because our goal as leaders is help other leaders, right? We're to help other leaders succeed. So if you know a pastor or a leader who would benefit from this podcast or benefit from my blog, send them to my website, jbsism.com, and tell them there's a wealth of information there, and there's more information to be coming in the next few weeks, in the next few months, and of course, in the next several years, there's going to be even more information coming. And I'm just so excited. The other thing is, if you have small groups in your church, like my advertisement said earlier, grab that ebook. Go to the top right-hand side of my page, click on the ebook. There, it'll take you to a link where you can fill in your information. All I ask for is your name and email address. Within minutes, you're going to get my new ebook, Start Your Engines. three strategies to running an effective small group now. And this is a tool that you can use to help leaders go to a brand new level, to take them to the next level. Why? Because we just looked at, our goal is to see the potential and value in those that we're leading. And so if you can do that, you're going to see people succeed. So that is all I have for today's episode. I pray that this was a blessing to you. And if it was, I ask you to just pass it along, email it to a friend, encourage them to subscribe on iTunes, and I pray that you will be the best leader that you can be. Well, until next week, my name is Jason Sism, and this has been Crosstalk.